Toss comes to the near side for Harris. He runs through a big hole, and he's gone to the 50. A burst to the 40. Alone to the 20. Damien Harris to the house. Touchdown, Patriots.
Got to give the players a lot of credit for just being tough, being disciplined, being resilient, and dealing with a really good football team and, you know, conditions that were somewhat challenging. So, good to get the win. Time to move on.
What a rain for the Buffalo Bills atop the AFC East. One whole amazing season. It's the Fan Morning Show. JD Buckus, Blake Murphy, and a pretty grumpy Ailish Forfar, all things considered. You know, you're usually...
I'm fine now.
Yeah, you're fine?
I had to sulk for a little bit, but now the show started. I'm ready.
Yeah, well, you got to talk about it. So how are you feeling? Because the Bills lost in a pretty big game. And yeah.
It was not a good game. Where did I have any inklings of faith or hope?
I know you had
yesterday in the
hope.
Show. I did when I was betting heavy.
No, you also
there was
had
one moment
last night.
I was
when
texting you guys.
You sent us a voice note of what you want to tell Joe Byron right now. Bing bong, as you
I was
as
a little,
the Bills hit got a touchdown after the fumble recovery. Then there was Bills, and then some succession memes of you screaming. So there was definitely at least a
there
moment
was a few
of hope.
Moments, but in the end, they just got beat everywhere on the field.
That was so. I do want to make this about the Bills first, but that was just a Belichick masterpiece.
Yep.
That like, I one of the reasons I love the NFL is that it's the league where coaching matters the most, right? And I like to see it. It's just a perfect combination of things: freak athletes, incredible play calling, and just preparation. And for Belichick to do that. We're all game long. It's like another run. Okay, so they're going to run it again. That was like what you do to your buddy in Madden when you're trying to embarrass him. When you're trying to be like, I'm so much better at Madden than you. I'm not even going to throw. Or I'm just going to do one pass play over and
stop
over.
Stop the HB smash.
Right, just you do this.
Stop
off
it
tackle.
Once. Stop it once and I'll stop running it.
And this is a tough day to be Sean McDermott. I would say that this has got to be, that's got to be as low as it gets as a head coach. Like you just said, no response.
Nothing.
For a team that did one thing over
and
over.
And you knew like after 15 minutes that was going to be the way the game went when there was no adaptation. You knew that the weather was going to be spicy.
Yeah. So
people's pregame tailgates were destroyed in the parking lot. I don't know if you saw any of those photos, but like metal tents bent and flipped upside down. There's a photo of someone taking, you know, a time lapse of the tailgate, and there's scarves just flying in the wind like Harry Potter. Like there's just like these scarves like floating. It was wild, but that's not an excuse. Like that's football, but you prepare for that.
It's especially not an excuse. Like
both teams had to play in the same weather.
Both teams had to play in the same weather. And I tweeted this last night. And of course, defensive and upset Bills fans took it as some type of a shot at Josh Allen, which it was not.
Sorry about that. It wasn't me. But.
Well, it's just, again, it's fine. You used to follow the tweet or the rule. Like, don't tweet because people the reading comprehension level is just incredible sometimes. So the Bills designed their team. Like their quarterback, his entire identity is this. And if I'm a Bills fan, I'm spinning into positive like, hey, our quarterback actually did have some really nice throws in this game. Allen really did have some moments. There were some times where he obviously held on to the ball too long, and the Patriots made a very, very strong point of emphasis of, we don't want to let this guy just beat us with his legs. So they went basically all in on that. Allen made some dimes where his arm is so strong that even in those wins, he threw some footballs where you went, oh, my God, that was amazing.
There was three or four. Yeah, can Dawson Knox just
catch a ball
for $1?
There were a couple of times. I watched the Manning cast basically exclusively last night. I switched over a couple of times during that. It was unbelievable Manning cast. I have notes for it, though, today. I want to see if you guys feel it. But Josh Allen looked like the weather quarterback. You're supposed to have it. And it's like, I find that more damning of the Buffalo Bills that you had the quarterback that was completely built for this game. You've been preparing for this game since you drafted him. This is the reason you did it. Mm-hmm. He's this big physical quarterback that can run over players in a cold game where you need him to be able to run on the ground, who can deliver a big throw down the field if you need him to in gusts of wind. And I thought that overall, Allen was probably their best player. Nobody else showed up. Coaching staff didn't show up. Defense didn't show up. Receivers, tight end, like running backs. It was just abysmal all around from the rest of the Buffalo Bills. So it's like, here you are. You did it. You did the damn thing. You got it all built up to this spot. You're at home. You're playing Bill Belichick with a rookie quarterback who he doesn't trust to throw the ball more than three times. And one of them was, like, the completion he made was a horrible throw. It's a noodle arm quarterback that can't throw in the wind. And you still can't beat him. And that is just that reminded me of when the Raptors lost to the Cavaliers and JV couldn't tip the ball in and you went, well.
It wasn't just him. Everyone got a crack at that.
But it was just kind of one of those moments where you're like, well, you know, the Raptors and they're just the Cavs and that's just LeBron and this is just the way that the order of the universe goes.
Oh, the weakest LeBron team since LeBron was a teenager?
Right.
And every metric says we're better? Now we're broken now.
So...
you'll
get to sulk. This is how this works. You share the pain.
I didn't say anything.
No, exactly. We want more of the pain. That's what this is here. This is talk therapy.
Oh, that's nice. I get that for free here.
Yes, you do.
This is how you know there's not a lot of torture to Ailish's fan history. Is like, I think that some people, maybe a Leaf fan, maybe certainly a Jaguars fan, would know better than to send that voice note.
That was just like,
I know,
being playful, no, trying
but
it, to.
But it's you make create things. A high, it makes for a lower low.
No, but she didn't do the thing where it's like we're doing this or whatever.
No, no.
Or it was like a trash talk thing. She was so down early, and it was guys. I don't know, guys. Oh no, oh no, oh guys, oh no. Because the Damian Harris run happens.
I started eating those mini egg chocolate.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly
dairy milks.
It.
That's when you know it's bad.
The Damian Harris run and the 2-point conversion to just be like, this is, and like, I don't know. I didn't love the game script from the Bills. I know they couldn't get a lot going, but the like treat that 8-0 hole, basically the whole game you're trailing and treat it like you're trailing big. And I think that's where like you have the 30-25 pass to rush mix. And Josh Allen really doesn't have much scripted on the ground. Again, the Patriots overloaded for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I didn't like the Bills' approach. Even I like their approach in terms of like toughness and mentality of like you get down early and you drag that out and make it a, you know, kind of keep that game in the mud and make it a tough game that was in the balance until 2.5 minutes left. But yeah,
it wasn't the balance, but I never felt like I was on the edge of my seat hoping like, oh, this is it. Like they're going to
really. They had the ball twice at the final two drives. You didn't have any faith that they were going to punch that in. I definitely thought they were
really?
Going to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Allen was moving
it out.
He moved it down the field
for sure
a couple straight times. And I thought this is this guy's moment. And I actually I don't want to tell you this, but I had that variation of the same tweet I had was this. Fitting, this is his signature win.
Oh. Yeah.
I had both.
You jinxed it.
And I
you
had both
it
prepared,
out.
But it was the
That's
same.
Preparation.
It was the same top, different clothes.
You think you just walk into the gym with a good tweet? No, you worked those out.
That was it. I really did think that they were going to do it. And again, if you're a Bills
I made
fan,
an in-game bet on the Bills. Like once the money line swung that way, and I was like, you know what? I could see it. It wasn't like great value or anything, but at that point, I had switched over completely from basketball to that game as the primary.
I love that game.
Guys, it's Text Line Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we want to know how you're feeling. Any Bills fans out there? It's free talk therapy this morning. But yeah, 590, 590 all day we'll be doing Text Line Tuesday. We got lots of blocks of fun for you spread out throughout the day. So
way to sell that fun. You're like, lots of fun.
I was going to read all of our guests, but
so
I didn't
much
have
fun
it. Okay.
For you today.
Yes,
like,
I'm a robot.
You're already like trying to move off of the Bills.
No,
like,
I'm just making space for Text Line Tuesday because people are slow in the morning. They get their phones out and text us, and no one's texted us yet. So they didn't know it was Text Line Tuesday.
So
now
the
you know.
Final line on this, and by the way, so full disclosure, during the first half, I was primarily on a couple of really fun type basketball games, and Bills Patriots was second screen. Mm-hmm. And I kept looking at the box score and refreshing it, thinking something was wrong because of Mac Jones's passing line. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's no way he's one of one for 12 yards or whatever it was. And I kept like hitting refresh and like, I'm in the stat tracker. I'm like, something's wrong here. What? Why won't it update? The final line, 2 of 3 mm-hmm. for 19 yards. To find the last time a team passed that little, you have to go back to 1974. Mm-hmm. It was the Bills.
Oh, you guys were around?
It was the Bills, remember? By the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. They were up against
were
Joe
the
Namath.
Yeah, I was nice. There. It Sweet. Was great.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was there with my pappy.
Yeah. I had my leatherhead helmet on. Yeah. And
I had a fedora.
No, where were we?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. 1974, the last time a team threw that infrequently. It has... Like, literally half the pass attempts of the next lowest in the last 30 years. Like, no one's gone below 6 in 30 years. And they attempted 3. So, what I was thinking about as this game was going on, obviously they won. And that's it.
But if they had lost?
I guess I don't want to say, like it's
on
a,
that type of decision.
Yeah. So, I'm going somewhere. Anyway, I've lost my thread now.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. But yeah, if they had lost on that game plan, it obviously looks a little awkward. I did think, Ailish, when you mentioned, or JD, when you mentioned that, like, you thought they were going to punch it in there, the Bills at the end, I absolutely thought, like, a 9 of 9 Mac Jones drive was coming back the other way, where he just, like, dink-a-dunks his way. And it's like, ha, we can't pass the ball. No, but I wanted your guys' take on, like, is that too extreme? And like, obviously the results are what they are, but the results were very close to not being effective. And you have to play this team again in a couple weeks, and you have to play this team again potentially in the playoffs. And I don't know, I worry a little bit about selling out that much to take Mac Jones out of the game.
No.
And what that does for him and your approach moving forward.
No. This is the beauty of having Bill Belichick, is that and a team that's good. You have the buy-in from the group. And it wasn't too much because they ran the ball for, I think, 224 yards. It wasn't like, oh, well, and another 3 and out. Oh, the defense is getting really tired. And No, they just kept running the ball and breaking the Bills down further and further and further.
Ramondre Stevenson is the new, like, Corey Dillon, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. But it's like, you do that 4 times and you got a first down.
But Harris also got hurt. The Harris is their lead back. There's been a lot of Stevenson hype this year, and I don't think that the two of them have a massive separation. But I can't wait to talk to Jeff Saturday today, because it's just like incomprehensible what just happened here. You knew the other team was doing that the entire game, and they still willed themselves to over 200 yards on the ground. To do that is incredible. I can't imagine being on that Bills other side. Like, you guys saw the Poyer and Hyde media conference, and that reporter, I thought, appropriately asked them, are you embarrassed? Because it's so embarrassing. And it's one of those, hey, obviously they are embarrassed and you're going to ask them to do it. And maybe it's how are you feeling or whatever. Who cares? That was embarrassing. That was so embarrassing. And even the whole point of, like, well, he had the one big run. Yeah, against you guys. And it's because the safety bit so hard on the play that it was done and that was broken, and Harris could walk himself into the end zone. And frankly, if he doesn't get hurt, Harris, he runs in another big rushing touchdown because he is gonzo when he pulls his hamstring.
You're also 7-5 now with 3 losses you can chalk up entirely, almost entirely to the rush defense.
There was zero part of me that ever thought this is too much from the Patriots. You saw Mac Jones try to throw the one football. He could barely get it. Jonnu Smith had to do like a double tip drill, carry it in the basket. That was the game plan. Everybody bought in. The offensive line bought in. That's why they got those running backs. Mac Jones, 44 handoffs, something stupid like that. All didn't fumble, just kept delivering the ball, perfect execution. Bill Belichick football, it was a masterpiece. Bill Belichick, when he goes into the Hall of Fame, we're going to remember that game. Mm-hmm. We are going to remember this. And
the 70s. No. Like, that should stick with people.
Three passes. And he went into Buffalo and snatched their souls. It's incredible. There's nothing like it. I'm so happy about it. Like, it's just one of those beautiful football moments. And I'm sorry that the tortured fan base and the Bills, because I actually like the Bills, and I'm sorry, Ailish, to kind of be dancing on your grave like this.
No.
But it's just like, No, there's zero part of me, Blake, to answer the question of was it too much or could it have not? It did work. They did win. They snatched their souls. They broke them to the point where their star safeties, who might be the best safety pairing in the NFL, are literally like trying not to cry at the podium because someone said, are you embarrassed? Like, well, we're going to remember that, man, as they limp off because they got their asses kicked. Patriots football, baby, it's back. They're so likable that it's annoying. God.
So let me spin it the other way then. Ailish, your Bills now have lost three games that were in large part due to the rushing defense's inability to stop volume. You look ahead, maybe not to these next couple weeks, but you look ahead.
What do you want to tell Joe Byron right now?
Yeah. You look ahead to the playoffs, and Baltimore is a team that can run it on you. Tennessee and Indianapolis are teams that can run it on you. Kansas City does not profile like that overall this season, but they have run it on you. How worried are you that obviously no other coach is going to go a Belichick level of, hey, we're only going to throw the ball three times and the weather might not be the same, but where is your concern level with that rush defense? Because I feel like we've talked about it a bunch over the course of the season of like, hey, this is the one thing keeping from optimism. And that wasn't a huge like yards per carry game, but the inability to stop the volume, I assume, has you worried.
Very worried, especially because last night, even though it was a wild type of coaching event, that if you're another team coming to play the Bills, you can take some of those little tidbits that Belichick did, maybe not to that extreme amount of three pass attempts, but you can take, okay, the Bills defense, the run defense is real bad.
It's
not just
soft.
It's not just bad, as you had seen throughout a couple games here and there, and then a sprinkle of really good games. No, it's like that was the blow it wide open, expose all of the bad spots. And I don't see how they can have that fixed quick enough. We're going to talk to a couple people today that might have answers. But I think if you're another team, you're thankful that Belichick did that, because it's, you can take little tidbits from that and be like, well, we can do that a little bit, maybe not as intensely, but we can take some of those plays and you know, beat down the Bills once again.
No, guys, the Bills are dead.
Yeah, no,
what are you talking about here?
I understand,
like, the Bills
that
are dead. That was a murder. We just watched a franchise get murdered. The whole, like, again, this is getting back to the Josh Allen tweet. This is what it was all for. It was all for a big weather game at home against a tough opponent, and you still couldn't win. The team is soft. The Patriots just bullied them. They came in their house, literally. They kicked the door in. They were like, we're taking everything in here. And Jordan Poyer was like, we'll remember that, man. Like, or whatever, hide, whichever one of those two guys said it at the podium. Like, no, they're dead. They just got exposed. They're soft. They got run on for over 200 yards. And their offensive coordinator that everyone gassed up all offseason, why didn't Daboll get a job? Oh, where's Daboll? All the jobs for this guy. Oh, he should be the head coach of blah, 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 blah. That guy got murdered. Their whole team murdered. I actually feel like if they would have come out today and the Magoulas were like, we're firing everybody that's involved in this, I would have said, oh yeah, that's totally checks out. I don't know how McDermott comes back. I don't know how Bean comes back from this. Like, they lose that next Patriots game on the road, like, that's it. That's it. You're back into the cellar, Bills fans. Like, you got to go back into the, like, 40 years of nothing again. You got to go back into the wilderness. This is so bad. This is so, so, so incredibly bad. And yes, the one thing I'm actually taking away from it, if I'm a Bills fan, is that Josh Allen belonged in that game. And there were real Josh Allen moments where I went, man, this guy has it. This guy's right there. He didn't have the stupid Josh Allen fumble that he's had in big games before. He didn't have the stupid Josh Allen pick where you went, boy, why did he throw that in a double coverage? He forced it.
Kept some plays alive, too, that didn't 100%. Materialize in something, but, like, he gave himself and that offensive line a chance to 100%. Get a little more.
I was discouraged by the fact that they kept giving Dawson Knox a chance, and he basically, I think he killed three drives tonight. He was the reason they were in the 4th and 14th in the first place. He dropped the ball twice. Just like a lot of errors, and Josh Allen set him up perfectly at least two times. They had, it's disappointing when you're watching, like, okay, try something different. Try someone else because he doesn't have it. And then I was on Twitter, obviously, and Bills fans are great on Twitter. There's a lot of videos of Knox before the game, like out there in like a sleeveless shirt in the snow and like getting on the Instagram being like, look at me. And then he runs back inside and then he drops 2 third-down conversions in like the very first part of the game. I'm like, well, maybe put some like, put some sleeves on and don't worry about the Instagram content so much. Like,
yeah, just be good.
Just be good. Like you were not good. And I don't think a lot of people like to put blame on players, like specific players. It's more of like, oh, they got beat bad. They, you know, the wind, the weather. Like, I don't want to hear excuses of the weather.
No.
Like, I hate when people complain about the weather because that's 5. Football.
5.7 yards per carry. 5.7 yards per carry is insanely good. Like, on any given day. The Patriots did that with a hurt running back and a rookie.
Yeah.
Two rookies. They did that to you on your turf. That's what I'm saying about the firing thing is, I really don't think that's too hot of a take. I truly don't. Sean McDermott's had a pretty good run there. Brandon Bean, Dable, like, somebody's got to pay for this. The fact that they don't have running backs really showed up in that game, right? Because they would have been able to, you wanted to see them run the football, and they just don't have a guy that can do it. They just, you know, it's Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary is like, to me, you know how there's like wins above replacement? Is like, that's the line of just, he's a zero. Where it's like, he's not going to cost you games. He's not going to get you a single win. He's not going to get you a win share. Mm. He's not going to give you anything. And the rest of the guys, it's the same thing. It's like, oh, you below Devin Singletary. So you're below the Devin Singletary line, which means you're negative win shares. I don't know how they didn't address the running back situation this offseason with more than Matt Breda. That was
and
foolish.
They were hyping him up on the pregame show, like, he's going to be huge tonight. Keep an eye on him. I was like, sorry, what?
Well, also, you're a cold weather team that needs to win in cold weather stadiums.
Yeah, you live in Buffalo. Like, that's right. Part of your team identity. Like, you got the Bills Mafia. That,
what division do you think you play in?
It loves to come out there and, like, brave the cold and be these tough guys, but I didn't really see that.
Yeah, right. Like, it's. I mean, last night maybe the wind wasn't that great. Like, I've been to a blizzard game in Buffalo before, and they're amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they kept talking about the wind. It was definitely something. Yeah. Did you see that opening kick?
Yeah.
That almost went to Toronto.
The wind was a factor.
For sure.
Obviously. But again, the wind is something that you have to know as a franchise that if you're going deep in the playoffs, the Bills are playing for home field advantage. They want to play where all that wind was.
Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, I was just saying from the fan perspective of like being there, maybe the wind's a little different. But that's a great fan environment of like, we're the cold weather team. You're coming into our house and this is what you have to deal with. And we're going to be an extra layer there. Good thing you didn't drive down for that.
That's it.
But that's what I'm saying, though, is like you're trying to play for the privilege to play in front of that incredible fan base in that type of weather, and your team isn't designed for it. The only part of your team that's designed for that game is the quarterback. Everybody else who's like, the receivers, the pass catchers looked soft. The defense gave up almost 6 yards of carry when you knew that that was what was coming all game long. That's soft. Like, that's soft.
And Knox is supposed to be that guy. If you're going to be a cold weather team that where your quarterback rushes a lot, like, you need good catching from your tight end because that's going to be the bailout option so often.
I just think it's like the entire roster other than the quarterback. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like Brandon Bean. What is your answer today? If I'm again, the ownership group, I'm like, what happened? I'm sitting down. I'm having a Zoom meeting today. I'm going, what happened here? Because that's embarrassing. And every single show is leading with Bill Belichick and his genius. And this is someone that has been ruining our lives for 2 decades. And then Tom Brady left. And there was one season where we thought, okay, we're all in. And we entered the season as Super Bowl favorites. And Josh Allen's the MVP favorite. And this is our year. And it's our time. And the Buffalo Bills and blah, blah, blah. And we're taking a step. And we're not built to win at our own stadium. We're not built to have a running attack or stop the run when we live here where there's gale force winds and snow and how is this possible? What happened here? So that's what I'm saying. Who is accountable for this? I think it's everybody. I think it's top down. It's the GM that built this team where they're obviously so heavily flawed. And it's the coach that frankly just didn't make enough adjustments, didn't do whatever with his personnel. Dude, they lost Tre'Davious White. He's arguably their best defensive player, and maybe not even arguably, maybe he just is their best defensive player. And it's a game where you go, oh, thank God, because this isn't going to hurt us because they're not going to pass the ball. And you still got exposed on defense. It's atrocious. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is not like a, oh, whoopsies game for the Bills. This is like a defining moment for the franchise right now. This is massive, monumental.
And it's not like, it's not only the reaction to this game. It's you reset the standings right now. And the Bills are down to 7-5.
Yeah.
And they're in a wild
card. 7-5.
They're in a wild card spot, but there are five teams within a game of that. This is wide open at the back of the AFC. Mm-hmm. And this is, if you're a team that came into the season with Super Bowl intentions, and you are on the fringes of the playoffs, and like, you have the Bucks and then the Patriots again. Like, you have three very winnable games on your schedule still with Carolina, Atlanta, and the Jets.
Yeah, they're going to win all three of those games, though.
Yeah, they
right, like, but this is the story of them is, like, you're going to be a 10-6 team then where, I mean, you beat Kansas City, and that's your only, like, plus-plus win. Maybe the New Orleans game, depending on how you feel about them. But, like, that's it. You beat up bad teams otherwise, and then, you know, 10-6 probably gets you in still, but there's no wiggle room now in the playoff race.
We talked about it yesterday when we're hyping up the game tonight. It was either going to be this huge momentum builder for the Bills. They're going to come in and spank the Patriots on home court, in a sense, have the team, the players, the fan base on board, and then go maybe on, I was hoping, a little bit of a run. I think that this does the complete opposite. You know, look at us today talking about who should they fire. Is this the most embarrassing, you know, display of effort? They got outcoached. They got embarrassed by Bill Belichick. Maybe it's Bill Belichick's best game as a coach. Like, these are all these narratives that come out of this game. It's just like, it's unsettling because you just think, wow, have they lost it in the locker room? We saw the post-game scrum where the two players are just like, butthurt about, is that the right way to say? That's probably not a right word.
They're upset.
They're upset about the a very simple question about, are you embarrassed by your run defense? Oh, yeah. And they take that to heart and, you know, they kind of blow up on the podium. It's just like, these are little things that you're going to see that can really change the confidence level in the dressing room. And thank God Josh Allen actually looked okay, because if not, I think you don't have anything to hold on to if you're a Bills fan.
Do you know what Sean McDermott said after the game?
What did you guys read? No.
Let's not give more credit than we need to.
Oh.
To Bill Belichick in this one.
Oh, okay. That's embarrassing.
You gotta go, Shawnee.
Like, you got, I would be,
I'm sorry.
That guy deserves all the praise, though. Like, he he embarrassed you. That's totally him speaking from, like, I don't even know what to say.
I'm reading that
Belichick more credit than he needs.
You say you're going to be a poor sport after you lose?
I didn't know he said that. That's embarrassing.
Greatest coach of all time on the other side. Have you ever, like,
he does something hasn't been done since, what, the 70s.
I meant to,
like, that's he deserves the praise. Give it to him.
I got to ask you, Blake, like, you have been what do you think the over-under is on, like, dressing rooms, locker rooms, post-games that you've done in your career?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
A couple hundred?
Yeah. Like, lots. That's what I'm trying to exemplify.
Yeah, like, I've been full-time on the beat since 2016, mm-hmm. or, like, partway through the 2015-2016 season. So, however many games that is at home and then 10 road games a year, I don't know. 300?
Do you have a recollection of seeing a team that was that sour, or covering a team that was that just shattered? Because I did want to ask you what you thought about the embarrassing question. And then now looking at this McDermott quote where he says, let's not give more credit, because I got to say, I'm not there as often, and I'm more of a casual in terms of, usually post game media press conferences come to me via, like, I see a clip, or after a big game, I decide to watch because it's going to be on TV after it's a local team. Mm-hmm. This is like, this seems really bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll start with the embarrassing thing. Like, that's something that I get where the players are coming from. It's a poorly worded question. And
maybe just a reference of what happened in case people haven't seen it yet.
Sorry. So a reporter asked, are you guys embarrassed by the run defense or losing in that particular way? And the Bills pair of safeties took offense to that and said, well, remember that. You know, that's probably not the best way to ask the question. It's also just like, you generally don't want to ask yes or no questions, because the player could
be like, no.
Stonewall you and be like, no. And that's it. And that's That's the old Russell
Westbrook
thing. I'm
just here so I don't get fined.
Yeah, it's the old Westbrook thing of when I don't feel like talking today, I will answer your question in as literal a terms as possible. So yeah, that wasn't the best for that. But like, yeah, that's the story of the game is how is that locker room feeling about that particular type of win? And whether that person asked it the best way or not, that's the relevant question. So
it wasn't that bad to me. Like it's a little awkward.
It's the question of the game. It's like one time I asked Masai a question, I used the word regret and I didn't really get an answer to the question because it became a discussion about like, we don't use the word regret. I can't tell if that was you being surprised.
No,
or just
that was
your
me
coffee.
Just spitting coffee everywhere as you're doing.
I thought
the answer.
It was because
no.
of that.
It had nothing to do with.
I was like, it wasn't that funny.
No, listen, you guys are funny, but that was just me and my like. Every once in a while, I forget how to drink liquids. I'm sure you've noticed it like a few times, like me spilling water all over myself. Yeah. How many times have I spilled coffee
you're
on myself?
You're getting calico cut pants every morning.
I gotta have them. Like it's really bad. But yeah, so back to the answer. Like
So it's again, I'm not there. Like I'm just picking it up off the screen and like. Obviously, I've been there for some bad Raptors moments in the playoffs in particular. And the Raptors always had a weird dynamic where Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan were much better quotes and interviews when things were going bad. Like they were both just so much more comfortable being self-deprecating than being self-congratulatory, which, yes, I realize is like a bit of a weird Kyle Lowry thing, but it was the case. So, but no, you can feel that out and like, this is some of what's been lost in kind of the quote unquote Zoom era where, you know, we're still not back in NBA locker rooms. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't mean that as a like, woe is me sports writer thing. I mean it as a, like, there is an element of this that you lose not being there and it's nonverbal stuff. It's body language. It's what are the conversations going on to the side away from the mic or, hey, what is the guy who's not at the podium saying? So, it's a little bit of a tough situation if you're the Bills guys who are at the podiums and you've got to carry that a little bit. But yeah, I don't think that was the best like mess. Like obviously nothing you say is going to like reset the locker room and be like, hey, we got this. We'll move forward. We'll get them in a couple weeks. Like that rah-rah stuff isn't going to land that quickly after a loss. But yeah, it didn't. It made the answer seem like a resounding yes, we're embarrassed and we don't want to talk about this.
Like that was the point I made earlier. Like the biggest thing I take from that as a fan and also a former player is that's not what you want to portray after a game. Mm-hmm. Your coach is bitter. Your players are bitter. You know, you got embarrassed out there. Just like sometimes you just have to own that and say, yeah, you know what? We didn't show up tonight. We got outplayed. We got outsmarted. We got outcoached. Like we play these guys in 2 weeks. That, like, great. We're going to get them next time. Like, sure, you can be upset that you lost, but think about the next 2 weeks. We're going to be recycling this narrative of what was said, how they reacted after the game. That's not a good feeling to have in your stomach for another 2 weeks when you think about playing the Patriots again, this time in New England. That's not great. Like, I don't want to feel that the team is kind of given up in a sense of having a bit of fight.
Or at a loss for how to fix it, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of the impression that I got.
You can make stuff up and be like, no, we got it. We got the game plan now. We know how to beat them next time. Like, that would be a better thing to say even if you don't believe it.
Like, I'm glad you said the you as a player hearing that thing because I was going to ask, like, wouldn't a better message? And again, this is very emotional after a game like this. So I don't think they're, like, sitting down with a comms team to lay this out. But, like,
you're a professional athlete.
I know. To me, the better answer is, hey, you're right. We didn't do well against their game plan. There's a lot of stuff we could clean up. And we also almost won that game. We've got them again in a couple weeks and it won't be the same story. And like, sure, that'll look bad if you lose in a couple weeks, but deal with that then, because right now you need to, you know, I can't imagine anyone on that team is looking at the schedule and being like, oh, we have a lot of confidence. We can beat good teams.
So I said it, they're soft. And I don't know how you as a Bills fan today could look yourself in the eye or look yourself in the mirror and actually say that you truly don't believe that this team is soft. After what the Colts just did to you, after what the Titans did to you, and now after this, like this is just the cherry on the you're soft salad. You're soft. And your team showed how soft they are in the post-game media conferences. Like they know it. That's why those guys had those meltdowns. All of them. Sean McDermott, you're a head coach in the NFL. Again, where Bill Belichick has been the greatest, arguably, who has ever done it. And you can't even tip the cap. You're so sour that you go, let's not give him too much credit.
That's
God,
pretty bad.
Man. That's so bad. That's so soft. And that's the thing. Top down. Top down. Organization, Brandon Bean, you built a soft team. You have a soft coach. You have soft players. You're a soft team. You're a soft team all around.
So the Patriots now have a bye, and then they have Indianapolis and the Bills again.
Yeah.
The Patriots are, and they have two layups with Jacksonville and Miami to end the season.
Those are two awesome games. Wow.
They are.
God, my Patriots.
I don't know how much Bill Belichick does Bill Belichick things because he's Bill Belichick and that's just how he operates. I don't know if he's like one of those spite-driven guys, but if I'm him and I am that spite-driven guy, not only am I'm looking at that and I'm taking this bye week, and yes, I'm planning ahead a little bit for Buffalo on December 26th, but I also want to shut down the Colts run game to be like, see, you could do that.
Man, I love everything about it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun couple weeks. And these playoff races are so tight, too. I know we're talking about the Bills, but it's going to be a really fun couple weeks here.
Well, this is because we've spent so much time talking about the Bills, it's like that is the only thought I'm going to close on with the Patriots is like, yeah, it's a really impressive game because they ran the ball the way that they did against the Bills, but also the Bills are vulnerable to that. It's a little bit now leaves you with the question of what is Mac Jones in a big game? Like we're still going to need to see that. It's a huge question mark for that team, but I cannot believe that we went from the Patriots a season ago. Like honestly, Belichick should win coach of the year for winning the games. How many games did he win? Like 7 games with Cam Newton, who's out there literally throwing like 5 interceptions on 5 throws, literally can't complete a pass right now in Carolina.
Yeah, they went 7-9 and he had a negative touchdown to interception ratio last year.
And all of their defensive players said they were out for the year. They didn't have any salary cap space. He still won 7 games. And you sort of have these thoughts of, hey, the whole discussion was you don't let Tom Brady go and you don't choose the coach over the talent and blah, blah, blah. And that still might be true, right? It's not like Tom Brady's struggling right now. He's got a Super Bowl and he's probably going to win an MVP, but damn. You gotta respect Bill Belichick. That guy, he's the Brandon Bean and the Sean McDermott, and he put them both in the casket yesterday. It was like, I'm better at both my jobs than you guys are at your one.
That 7-9 Patriots team, by the way, do you remember who was second on that team in passing touchdowns?
Well, what's his name? Jared. I mean, it's not Brian Hoyer, is it? What's his name? Jared Stidham? Yeah, is that?
Well, he was tied, but Jacoby Myers.
Oh, Jacoby Myers.
The wide receiver trick play was their second highest volume quarterback.
Yeah, that's not great. Anyway, let's take a break.
It's text line Tuesday, too.
Yeah, A-list is going to bring up an A-list where she's like, and nothing happened.
No, it's going to be, we're going to not speak about football during the A-list.
Until 7 o'clock when we have Jeff Saturday, who I can't wait. Like, there's two things I can't wait to ask Jeff Saturday. What it is about Belichick. Like, actually try to explain this to us in a little bit more detail because it's just, you always hear he takes things away. He takes the thing that you love away. And I go, isn't that what all coaches try to do? Like, isn't that literally like just coaching, like defensively? Isn't that what the Raptors try to do? Isn't that what every sport tries to do? And I kind of feel like we don't appreciate Belichick well enough because a team has a bad game. And we go, well, that's Belichick. You know, he takes away what you want to do.
Also, we like don't understand maybe to that level. Yeah. And I don't want to speak for everyone, but like football is my weakest sport tactically.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard game, man. That's why, again, Bill Belichick, God, so good. This is just a huge day for Vic and I, Team Belichick guys, believers in Belichick.
We'll update those Coach of the Year and MVP odds a little later, just, by the way, because
we are definitely,
because that not only locked Belichick in, but it also probably killed the Josh Allen one.
Sure.
So we're definitely headed for Brady Belichick MVP coach.
Well, I just think it's going to be really funny if the Bills lose to Belichick and then the next week, like the Tom Brady comes and kicks their asses. It's like, oh my God, when will the torture end? That's on the table. And then, so it's like, Bill beats you, then Tom beats you. Then you get 1 week where Brandon Bean faces his former team and Sean McDermott faces his former team. And it's like, oh, we got a cute little win. And then it's like, then Bill Belichick beats you again. This could be a real stretch for narratives for Buffalo Bills fans. All right, let's take a break and let's try to pick up our friend Ailish because she's hurting. Like she's just sulking. The more I talk, the more she just like shoulders drop, sinks into
the
chair.
It's the first time in the history of the show that Ailish hasn't been the energy, like the driving energetic force. I even felt bad asking her some of those questions because I had just
thought you'd be more mad.
I'm fine.
No, that's the thing is I thought you'd want to be more mad that that's, but now I'm learning something about you.
I'm not a mad person.
That's it. You get introverted though when you're upset,
like,
which isn't great for the fact that we have to talk.
The talk therapy was not going well.
So let's take a break.
I feel good.
Feel better? Yeah. Okay, good.
Got some stuff off my chest, and we're going to talk about it five times more today.
And you got some A-lists.
Yeah, you got some
to cheer us all up. That's next. Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Wow.
Nice to have you with us now.
Woo! I'm back, baby.
Catatonic state of depression.
What happened last night? Nobody knows.
And here's your 9-minute A-list.
I was literally yelling in her face that whole block.
Yeah.
Just, your team sucks, your team soft. What do you have to say to Joe Byron right now? Yeah, she wouldn't say anything.
What do you have to say to Joe Byron right now?
You wouldn't give me a lick.
Nothing.
I like this. We've got 9 minutes of positive A-list for the A-list, and then Jeff Saturday is going to come back on, and we're going to lose her again.
Yeah, all right. We might as well embrace it while we can.
Now, it's time for...
Let us A...
A...
The A-List.
A.
Okay, so that song choice was intentional, because the world's 2021 most mispronounced words list came out, and Billie Eilish is near the top. Also, Ailish Forfar is probably near the top, so I decided to choose that song, but... The sports connection is there is another player at the very top of that list. You guys have 10 seconds. Nope.
Oh, I can't believe I wasn't right. I was so stoked.
And you,
I was like,
and you made sure you said it, you know, really.
Yeah, I snapped
Don't
that.
Be Googling over there.
I'm not Googling.
Who do you think would be, I'll give you a hint. They play football. American football.
I don't know.
That's right.
They play American football. It's like, no, it'd be CFL quarterback.
It could have been like soccer or something, you know, and then you're like, well, that didn't count. I want to give you all the opportunities.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
No.
This is the thing.
Tua Tagovailoa?
No. That was good, though. You're just, look at this range.
Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to think about like prominent players. It's got to be a quarterback. Like, no one's thinking about
Nope. It's not a quarterback.
It's not a quarterback.
Do you want me to tell you what team he plays for?
Yeah.
We want to narrow it down that much.
Yeah.
The Eagles. But he also has a brother.
Lots of people have a brother.
That plays football as well.
Well, Kelsey?
Yeah.
That's it.
He came out and said that people have been mispronouncing their last name for years. It's Kels.
Oh, my God. No way.
Yep.
Too late.
Too late.
You know what? Too late.
But it's now one of the most mispronounced names in the world because broadcasters have been saying Kelsey
that's
for both of them.
That's such a dirty trick question that you did to
no,
us today.
It's
like,
not.
Honestly, you're a little
this
shady.
This is like when I'm
furious at
that's
this.
That's from
like,
the news.
Oh,
I didn't make this up.
It's actually Kels. It's from the news.
Go no, read. There's a whole article.
How dare you trick me this way in the morning? And then
it's
you're like,
legitimate
he has a brother
article.
Who plays. I'm like literally scanning their roster for a difficult name to say. And then I'm like, no, the only guy that I know on that team is Kelsey.
Well, I'm telling you that his name's been mispronounced for years.
Kelsey.
Just like Billie Eilish, just like Ailish Forfar.
This is like when Zach Britton was like midway through his career, was like, actually, guys, it's spelled with a K.
Yeah. Well, Vic points out something very good here. So obviously it's Jason who says the quote.
Right.
And so that's why she's bringing up that he's an Eagle. But it's like, but he's obviously the like by far less famous brother. And she didn't go like he's on the Chiefs, you know? It's like,
screw you guys. Yeah. That's
I'm
good.
Just saying, no, don't say that. You tricked us. You're being a trickster in the morning. Mm-hmm. This is not the way to start my day.
Jason Kels, former cameo on Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So always a soft spot
and,
for me.
And like the idea that Giannis Antetokounmpo or Tua Tagovailoa, like the things that they've heard people say, and then those guys are out there, they're like, it's actually Kels, and we're the most mispronounced name. Like, I hate you guys so much for saying this. Like, I'm mad about 10 things about this. That, poor Antetokounmpo, they're like, Giannis, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, it's Kels. And he's like, no, it's cool. You guys are the ones who have to deal with the tough stuff. Kels.
Actually, it's Tom Brady.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Tom Brady.
What are you doing, Kels? Yuck.
All right, well, Keep that in mind.
Also,
everybody.
There's two of you that are in the NFL. Like, this was the easiest thing right out of the gate to be like, hey, it's Kels. And they let it go. And then what? Like, Travis Kelce was literally on The Bachelor, right?
Was he?
Yeah.
Are you a big Bachelor
guy? Or he was on some kind of a version of The Bachelor, like some show like that.
A knockoff version.
Also, the NFL's pronunciation guide has it as Kelce.
Yeah, no.
So...
Well, they got to change that.
I think they're lying. I think they're lying
There's
now.
There's no way. Yeah,
this guy is a bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about this family ever again.
No, the Kelses.
My family.
Well, my family pronounces it Kels.
Moving on. That one wasn't a hit. Sorry about that.
No, it was a great hit.
Okay. Yeah. Here's another thing that's a hit. So the NBA has launched a special art series to celebrate the 75th anniversary this year. And it's really cool. There's a bunch of artists, one-in-one original works of arts that you can buy. And everything from, like, luxury jewelry to really cool paintings. And I'll tweet out the link so you can look at it. But really, really cool way to support different artists, but also to get one-of-a-kind stuff if you're a big NBA fan that won't ever be made again. Not the cheapest things.
I was just going to say, like, now you're making me more mad because you're like, hey, there's really cool stuff
actually,
that you
there's
love.
There's some affordable
but you can't
stuff.
Afford it.
Look, I don't want to spoil anything, but the one for 2019 is one of my hand-drawn mooses.
Yeah.
That's one of the NBA 75 arts to commemorate the Raptors championship.
Yeah, if you're looking for, like, a really special one-of-a-kind item.
Yeah, this guy right here.
That's Blake's tattoo. If you want something special to celebrate the NBA 75th anniversary, there's a bunch of really cool things you can buy.
Hey, you better get a sick job.
Yeah, but there's things that are not
out of reach. Ayla's literally throwing out there, hey, how much? What's the cheapest one?
Oh, well, just, I have to circle
back. What's out of reach for you and your money bags lifestyle?
Because $20?
No, they're one of a kind, one off art pieces, originals.
You said what's out of reach for me.
Oh, yeah. No, because I was going
to
say.
I'll get back to you on that. I can't find it.
Because
the
here's what I know about original popular art. It's not cheap. It's like, that's all I know. You know why? Because I have none. And I would like some. But you know what? It's too rich. It's too expensive.
I have some one of ones, but they were gifts from a friend.
Yeah. So
who drew them?
Yeah. Amateurs drew them.
Well, I mean, Casey Bannerman, if you know his stuff.
Okay, $75, $350, $85, $75, $85.
Okay. That's actually attainable.
$48.
Let me see that. Turn the laptop. Let me see what some of these things look like.
Pretty cool. $75, $350.
These are less cool than I thought they were going to be.
But, like, okay, yeah, some of them
They're
suck.
Like T-shirts. T-shirts, those are one-of-one T-shirts?
Yeah,
I don't even
like
know what
the design, some of them are, like, hand-drawn things. Anyway.
You sent me that PNG file? There won't be one-on-one T-shirts anymore. Yeah, no, a little print shop around
look,
the corner.
There's a Knicks.
I'll break you off for $20.
I was going to say,
pendant.
Is that even
some
possible?
Get me that.
To be like, I made a one-of-one T-shirt with a graphic print. You're like, No, you didn't. Yeah. We all made that
there's
T-shirt.
More than that.
JD's
anyway.
Hoodie's a one of one now that he spilled coffee on it.
Oh, my God. Is there actually coffee on my hoodie?
Okay.
No,
speaking of things that are expensive.
Yes. Yeah.
So right now the NFL is doing their, where'd it go? They're doing an auction for special cleats, special game-worn items to raise money, and there are some pretty cool things that you can bid on. Even Russ Tucker has put in his own cleats for his own cause, if you know our boy Russ Tucker. But currently, the highest thing that you can bid on, just take a guess at how much you think a game-worn and autographed Tom Brady's Buccaneers jersey would be.
I was just going to say, it's definitely a Tom Brady item. A game-worn jersey?
Yes. It was their victory over the Eagles on 10-14-21. Includes LFG, seven-time SB champs,
Who
Go Bucks, 10-14-21 inscriptions. 100% of the funds raised will be donated to the TB12 Foundation.
I'll say $80,000 U.S.
I'm going to go over. I'm going to say $100,000.
You guys are
not even
close.
Playoff game.
You're not even close.
Not even close low or not even
half
close
a million?
$250,000 right now. Yeah. And there's actually 0 days left. Today's the last day.
I got to tell you, though.
NFLauction.nfl.com, and they also have the My Cause, My Cleats.
Yes, the My Cause, My Cleats.
This is the philanthropy. Why? I shouldn't say this is the philanthropy I like as though I don't like other forms of charity. no, but this is actually something where I go, if I was really rich, if I was stupid rich, this is the kind of stuff I would do. Because it's the ultimate stunt. You get a really cool item. You way overpay for it. Like, obviously, whoever buys this thing could find a way to get a cheaper Tom Brady game-worn jersey. Like, I'm sorry, you can.
Yeah, if this but it's also a big tax write-off, probably.
But that's it. you're donating to charity. You get a really cool thing and you get to put it up. And then it's also one of those, like, you don't put your name or the, it's like the anonymous donation. You go, oh, I got this Tom mm-hmm. Brady game worn jersey. It was for charity. You don't say how much it's for, but everybody who sees it goes, obviously he spent insane amounts of money for this. Although he would have been mad if I was there, because I'd have been like, what'd you spend, $80,000?
And he'd be like,
no.
Just disappointed. George Kittle and Stephon Diggs have both had wrestling-themed cleats this year, and I don't see them anywhere on here.
Well, how much are Ross Tucker's cleats going for? Can we buy them?
They're like $240,
no way. $240?
Yeah. So just a quick comparison.
$250 is the current
bid. That's $317,000 if you want that jersey.
Yeah, and I'm gonna ask our boss if we can buy.
Yeah,
those
I'm sure
cleats.
They have a budget yeah. for us for spending.
And Ross's are for the Concussion Legacy mm-hmm. Foundation.
Okay, quick before we go, one little tidbit that will just ruin your day. Canada has unlocked the emergency maple syrup reserves mm-hmm. amid
I've
a shortage.
Yeah.
So the Quebec maple syrup producers had to release nearly half of their emergency reserve because we're eating so much maple syrup,
no,
or there's not enough trees and tapping. Yes, both probably.
Yeah, that's it.
It's
change.
Equivalent to 22 million kilograms that they've released.
You said it's because we're eating too much. Everybody needs to stop eating maple syrup.
So be careful with your maple syrup. Pancakes. And there's probably going to be a crazy surge at the grocery stores to get maple syrup because now it might be out of stock soon. So just a little tidbit for you when you're making your pancakes.
All I have to say about this stuff is it's either we're heading towards an apocalypse where none of us have any of the things that we want, because there's a million stories like this right now with mm-hmm. whether it's supply chain. Like, I saw one that was like, you won't be able to buy chicken tenders soon. Mm-hmm. The chicken tenders are out.
I almost brought that one up on air. I'm like, do I talk about food too much? But this one hit home.
You don't talk about food too much. If anything, we don't talk about food enough. It's like everybody eats, you know? It's like
it's
the
true.
Most
it's
relatable
a connection.
Thing. Some people listening to this show, they go, I don't care about the Bills. Talk about the Leafs. It's like, you know what they all do? Eat chicken tenders.
That's right.
You know? Even vegans, I don't even believe you. You definitely have the odd chicken tenders. So good. All this stuff is kind of like so doomsday. Oh, you'll never have this food again. You better eat this food again. But I still go to the grocery store and see chicken tenders for like $13 for a whole box. So I don't know. Until that price goes up to 44, until it starts hitting Ross Tucker cleats money, then I'm chilling.
I'm fine. The chicken farmers walking out of their annual meeting, price of brick going up.
Also, like, doesn't a bottle of maple syrup last you like your whole life? I thought you just have one bottle and it's just like, that's what's there in your fridge till the day you die. That big plastic bottle. No? Okay, just me.